If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. As you know, we are right now in our relaunch series. And we started here in our brand new remodeled sanctuary. And we started our relaunch series just a few weeks ago. And not only are we relaunching in a new building, we are relaunching in multiple areas of our life. And our theme scripture for the entire series is found in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. And it says this: forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. And so many times that's where we get stuck in life. We get stuck thinking about all of the broken things. We get stuck thinking about all of the failures, and we can't move on from the former things. We can't separate ourselves from our past. But God says here, see, I am doing a new thing. New things are always in your future. There is nothing new in your past. The past is done. The past is already written. So when God says, see, I need you to look out into your future, and I need you to see the new thing that I want to do in your life. I need you to see the new thing that I want to do in your family. See, I am doing a new thing. And if you're not seeing and you're not looking out into the future, you're going to miss what God wants to do in you, and you're going to miss what God wants to do through you. So in this series, we've got to move past the former things. We've got to get past our past so that we can see and live in the new things that God wants to do. And today we are talking about relaunching our relationships. Relaunching our relationships. And in this sermon, Destiny insisted, she insisted that we use this metaphor of rocket ships. Okay? I mean, if you've been around here long, you know that she is a sci-fi geek. I mean, she is a sci-fi watcher. I'm sorry, I just slipped out. She loves sci-fi. She loves the spaceships and the outer space and all of these things, which I don't understand. So when she started talking to me so excited about, we have to use this metaphor of the spaceship and the rocket ship and all this stuff, I was like, okay, babe, we'll do that, whatever you want. And so I have gained some wisdom in my years of that has allowed my relationship to continue. And so we will use this metaphor this morning of this rocket ship, but we are going to talk about two things specifically that we all need in order to relaunch our relationships.
But before we do, let's talk about why you should relaunch your relationship. See, there's kind of a method to the progression of this sermon series. First, we talked about relaunching your life, because the first thing relaunch has to be is personal. It has to be personal. It has to be for you. So relaunching your life. And once you've relaunched your life, then you can hope again. Then you can believe again. So we relaunched our hope. And then we talked about relaunching your commitment, because we often stop committing to things because we've lost hope. So once we have relaunched our hope, then we're able to relaunch our commitment. And the basis of every true and meaningful relationship is commitment. It's commitment. So we know that if we want to relaunch our relationships, that we have to also be willing to once again relaunch our commitment. But more than that, really, it's the culmination, a culmination of a successful relationship with God is successful relationships with people. I want to say that again. The end point, the culmination of a successful, of a good, of an intimate, of a wonderful, of a biblical relationship with God is going to be good relationships with other people.
Let's look in the Word this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, you can go there. If not, you can follow along on the screen. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they had been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So you should relaunch your relationship because, number one, it's God's will that we live in relationship with Him and with other people. We can see from this scripture, what did it start with? It starts with faith, right? It says, take your faith and then add to it all these things. And what was at the end of that long list? It was love for everyone. Love for everyone. So we start with faith, but we're supposed to end up with love for everyone. 1 John 4:7-8 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's so important that we relaunch our relationships with that new commitment, with that new hope, with that new life, because God is love. And it's His will that you be in relationship, not just with Him, but with others. Matthew 22:37-38 say, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But this is what I love, is it says a second is equally important. It's equally important. Doesn't that seem strange? I mean, loving God, I sometimes think of it as, okay, the first commandment is love God, and then under here is love people. But He says, no, there is a second commandment, but it's equally important. And it says to love your neighbor as yourself. So the first reason that we need to relaunch our relationships is because it's God's will that you be in relationship with Him and with others.
And the second reason that you need to relaunch your relationships, and I'm just going to encourage you right now, if you have a smartphone, if you have a pen and paper, I would encourage you to write some of these things down. We're going to give you a lot of scriptures this morning. We're going to give you a lot of practical things that are going to help you in your marriage, help you in your sibling relationships, help you in relationships all throughout your life. And so I'd encourage you to begin to take notes right now. Here's the second reason that we know that God has called us to relaunch our relationships. And the second reason is this: it's God's will that we mend the relationships we have with others. It's God's will not only that we live in relationship with God and with others, it's God's will that we mend relationships we have with others, especially with fellow believers. There's two places where Jesus talks about this. Matthew 18:15, Jesus says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Just look at the power of that language. If you go and they confess, you have won that person back. That is a strong word to us to let us know that whenever we walk this way, it means we're winning. Whenever we obey, it means we're winning. It means that we have the chance to win something back that is valuable and important. In Luke 17:3-4, Jesus says, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wronged you seven times a day, okay, let's get this. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. That alone right there tells us it is God's will for us to mend the relationships in our lives.
And the third reason that we need to relaunch is because God has a mission for His church. God has a mission for every believer, and we need each other. We need to be in relationship with each other in order to achieve that mission. John 13, 34 and 35 says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." See, the way that we treat each other is the way that we witness to the world. It proves to the world that we are who we say we are, that we are true followers of Christ. Not just the way that we treat the world, but the way that we treat each other. Isn't it funny that so often we treat the people in our home worse than we would a store clerk? We say things in a tone of voice and with motivations that we would never use for somebody who is just serving us food at a restaurant or who walks by us on the street. And somehow that same mentality of neglect creeps into our relationships with other believers. And so we're sitting in church and we look across the aisle and we don't feel the need to repair that relationship because, oh, well, we'll all be in heaven together. We don't feel the need to strive for unity, but then we go into our workplace, we go into here, and we want to say that we're Christians. No, the Bible makes it clear that the way that we love each other, the way we act in the house, the way that we deal with our family, that that's the witness, that that's the sign that we really are followers of Christ. So that rocket really is an apt metaphor for this entire thing. And that's because we're going somewhere together. We are in this thing together, and we need certain things to get there. So how do we relaunch our relationships? How do we relaunch our relationships? The very first thing is this: forgiveness. Forgiveness. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 2. "Therefore I, a prisoner," and this is Paul writing, "a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you," and he's writing to the church of Ephesus, "beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Doesn't that excite you? You've been called by God. "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." Basically, that's saying forgive each other. Forgive each other, because forgiveness is the fuel of relaunch. Forgiveness is the fuel of relaunch. You know, it is insane how much fuel it takes to get a rocket into orbit. I mean, it's insane. They're thinking up all kinds of new ways to get rockets in orbit, like strapping them on top of 747s and all kinds of other things, because to blast a rocket off of that launch pad and get it into orbit takes so much fuel that it's just a huge part of the mass of the rocket ship as a whole. There's more fuel needed than seems convenient, than seems even logical. But in our own relationships, we are going to need more forgiveness than is convenient. We are going to need more forgiveness than even seems right. We have to have so much forgiveness on board. It has to be a huge part of our relationship. C.S. Lewis said it this way. It said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a constant attitude." Then Jesus said this in Matthew, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." He said the same thing basically in Mark 11, 25. So forgiveness is the basis for relaunching every relationship. Every relationship. See, God models to us what a relationship should look like. And yet, He will not forgive us unless we forgive others. The first key to relaunching your relationship is forgiveness.
And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, bear with each other. Bear each other. That means bear each other's burdens. Bear each other's faults. Bear with one another. Walk with one another. Help carry the load for one another. And forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I don't know what the Lord has forgiven you of, but I know the Lord has forgiven me greatly. I know that the Lord has forgiven me of so many things. And so this scripture right here is incredibly challenging. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So why do we forgive? Why do we need to forgive to relaunch relationships? One, because the Bible tells us to forgive. The Bible tells us the way that we ought to live our lives. And the Bible tells us that we need to forgive. That means it's in your best interest if you walk in forgiveness. That means God's saying, if you forgive, you will live life to a higher level if you do what I've asked you to do. We forgive simply because Jesus forgave us. And we forgive because forgiveness frees us. Forgiveness sets us free. Joyce Meyer, a great Bible teacher, said this: I know from personal experience how damaging it can be to live with bitterness and unforgiveness. I like to say it's like taking poison and hoping your enemy will die. And it really is that harmful to us to live this way. Whenever you're unwilling to forgive and you want to live in bitterness, it really is like you're drinking poison, like you're taking on the garbage, and you think that the other person is going to die. You think you're harming the other person. The reality is the only person you're harming is yourself. The only person you're setting back is yourself. We must get free from unforgiveness. And let me just tell you this morning that forgiveness isn't going to be an emotion. Forgiveness is something that you put in motion. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is something that you put in motion. It's not something that you're going to feel. It's something that you're going to force. You're going to force yourself to do it. I can tell you, whenever I've been offended, when I've been disappointed, when I've been angry, in that moment, my first thought was, man, I just feel like forgiving them. I just feel like wiping the slate clean. I just have this emotion of gratitude and love and overflowing of compassion right now. That might be you, and you can come talk to me afterwards. That's not me. I am wanting to do some damage in that situation. But you know what? I know that I've got to force myself into forgiveness. I can't wait on an emotion to take me to the moment of forgiveness. I've got to put forgiveness in motion in my life. And I've got to start walking out the word of God, even when it's tough, even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't make sense. Why? Because I trust the word of God, because it's the rock and the foundation of my life. It has never led me astray in any other area, so it's not going to lead me astray in this area. So I've got to force myself and force my life into this forgiveness. Do you remember we read it just a little bit ago in Luke 17, verse 4? Even when Jesus said this, even if they sin against you seven times in a day, do you remember that? He said, even if they sin seven times, but they come back and say they're sorry and repent seven times, you have to forgive them every day. Even seven times a day, it doesn't matter how long that goes. What Jesus is saying is, it doesn't matter how many times they sin against you. It doesn't matter how long it continues. It doesn't matter how many days back to back to back. If they come and say they're sorry and they repent, you must forgive them. And when the disciples heard Jesus say this, I think they have a response like many of us would have. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Seven times seven every day. I mean, Lord, please increase our faith so that we can believe. But you know, it's interesting that Jesus responds to that statement with a parable. And he doesn't respond on a parable of faith. He responds with a parable about duty. It's not about faith. Because what he was telling the disciples is, you're missing the point. When I tell you to forgive over and over and over, it's not about faith. It's not about feeling. It's only about one thing, and it's duty. It is the obligation to obedience. And so I'm not going to speak to your faith right now. I'm not going to pray for your faith right now. I'm going to give you a lesson, a parable, and the teaching is all about the duty that you have in the kingdom of God to walk out forgiveness. It's the obligation to obedience that you have signed up for, and that you don't have an opinion in the matter. You don't have a say in the matter anymore. And the reality is forgiveness is when you put God's opinion above your own opinion. It's when you put God's way above your way. And whenever you do that, then and only then can you really walk in the forgiveness that God wants us to have. But if you don't have forgiveness, you will not have a relaunch. It starts with forgiveness. It doesn't end in forgiveness, but every relaunch will start with forgiveness.
So after forgiveness, you need something else. You need something else. It doesn't just take fuel to launch a rocket, and it won't just take forgiveness to relaunch your relationship. It also takes work. It takes work. Now, I want to stop right here and say there's some relationships that need to stop at forgiveness. They just need to stop at forgiveness. And those are abusive relationships. Those relationships where someone has abused you, you need to stop at forgiveness. Now, you still need to forgive, because forgiveness doesn't say that what they did was right. Forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness says that God is in control of your life. They aren't in control of your life. So abusive relationships, toxic relationships. You know, you have those relationships where that person just keeps on pulling you back into your old lifestyle, or somebody just keeps on pushing you into emotions and feelings and habit loops, and you just aren't strong enough to have that kind of relationship in your life. It's fine. Forgive what's happened before. Let it go and walk away. And then there's temporary relationships. There's temporary relationships. A wise man I know over in Texas said that some relationships are for a reason, some relationships are for a season, and some relationships are for life. And sometimes we have people who come into our life for a season or for a reason, and that season or that reason is up, and they're trying to walk away, and yet we're trying to hold on so tightly that we lose kind of the joy of what you had for that moment. And so you need to be able to go, you know what? I'm okay. I'm all right with them walking out of my life. I love them. I bless them. I forgive them. But I'm going to move on. Now, we're called to be in relationship with each other. Everybody, this whole church, you can kind of look around. These are the people on your local church rocket ship. So that means that it's going to take work for us to be in unity together. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, what we started with forgiveness, the last part of that verse says this: make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Another place in the Bible, it says this, it says we have to strive for unity, that we have to strive for unity. Work is the rocket ship. Work is the rocket ship that will get you to your destination in every relationship. You know, it would be really silly if NASA just drove a gas truck up on the launch pad, you know, and it parked there and it was like, okay, let's go to the moon now, you know. I mean, we've got all the fuel we need. We're good. We're good. Let's just go. I mean, you said we need a lot of fuel. We got it right here. I mean, it's in a gas truck. It's perfect, you know? And yet sometimes we just want to forgive and 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 forgive. And we don't want to do the work to change the things in our relationship that are negative, the things that are attaching those habit loops in your relationship where she says this and then he says that and then somebody slams the door and then somebody sleeps outside on the porch and then the next day you forgive and you start over. It takes work to change relationships. But if you want to go somewhere new, you better do some new work. If you want to have a different result at the end of your week, you better do something different Monday through Friday. So it's so important that we understand the second step really is work.
Absolutely. In James chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says this: what good is it, my brothers, If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed or lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You see, that is why God said for us to strive for unity, to make every effort, to constantly be working, to constantly be striving for unity. It's not simply just to become unified. It's the work process that we go through that helps develop us into the person and the people that we need to be. So in our marriages, we have to strive for unity. In our friendships, we strive for unity. In our families, we strive for unity. In our churches, we strive for unity. And here's what the word strive means: to exert oneself vigorously. It doesn't just mean to give an attempt. It doesn't just mean to give it the good old try and see what happens. To strive for unity means to exert oneself vigorously. It also means this: to make strenuous efforts toward any goal. To make strenuous efforts toward any goal. We know that we have a goal. We have a goal set before us to live in unity. We know that we have a goal set before us to be the family of God. We know that we have a goal set before us that said, let the world look at your relationships and know that you belong to me. Let the world look at you and let them see me in you. We know we have a goal. And if we're going to meet that goal, the only way for us to get there is if we strive, if we vigorously put effort into making our relationships be everything that God intended them to be. The hard work of relationships builds something that can go somewhere. It's building that ship, as Destiny's talking about, that can actually go somewhere. And if you are ever doing, if all you're ever doing is having an emotional relationship, you are very unlikely to survive the storms. If all you do is have an emotional back and forth relationship, you're not going to survive the trouble. You're not going to survive the difficult seasons in life. And if fuel is the forgiveness, then the rocket that's going to take you there, that is the work that you are willing to put in to the relationship. So how do we work at our relationships? How do we work at our relationships? The first way is that you have to seek to grow personally. You have to seek to grow personally. The best way to work on your relationship, first of all, is to work on you. The better you get, the better the relationship's going to get. The more patience you have, the better the relationship is going to get. The more grace you have, the better the relationship's going to be. The more like Jesus you get, the better the relationship is going to be. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to make a commitment to personal growth. You say, what does that look like? That probably means taking a couple hours during the week that you may have normally spent watching sitcoms, and you take a book that's actually going to make you a better husband, a book that's going to make you a better Christian. You begin to listen to podcasts and teachings and preaching that is actually going to make you more like Jesus. And so there are things in your life that you can begin to do that are going to create personal growth inside of you, that are going to develop you so that you can actually have these kind of relationships in your life.
And the second thing that you need to do if you want to work, the second way that we work on our relationships, is we seek solutions, not resolution. Solutions, not resolution. After Philip and I had Carolina, we suddenly discovered that it was a good thing we had worked really hard on our relationship for about 7 years. Philip and I had probably had about 5 fights before we had Carolina. I think we had 5 fights in the first week that we had Carolina home, because kids just change the dynamic. But I noticed something about the way that I approached our marriage that had changed. I am very solution-oriented. If you bring me a problem, I'm going to go, okay, well, this is what we need to do to fix it. This is how we need to move on. All right, I'm very solution and goal-oriented. I don't need to know the genesis of your problem. I don't need to know all the background. I don't want to know what he said, she said. Let's just figure out how we can fix it. Come on, let's go. That's just me. But suddenly I switched. I don't know if it was the estrogen or the lack of sleep. I'm going to blame it on both. And I became a resolution person. Why did you say that? in that tone, at that time, in that voice, in those words. No, really, why? And I discovered something. He didn't know why. But it took me about a year and a half to figure that out. And so I'm striving for a resolution that doesn't exist. A famous author said the difference between fact and fiction is fiction has to make sense. The difference between fact and fiction has to make sense. There isn't resolution available for your relationship, but there are solutions available for your relationship. There are solutions available for your relationship. So if you really want to work on your relationship, the very best thing that you can do is you can seek solutions and stop trying to find resolution. And finally this, you can come back to the table. You can come back to the table. Now, you may not know what this is, or if you've been around my mom, you will know, because this is my mom's favorite line when it comes to relationships. It's really hard to negotiate with someone who's not at the table. It's really hard to have dinner with someone who's not at the table, who's not there. And so often in life, we want to get in a big fight and we want to retreat to our corners and we want to take weeks to come back to the table. But if you really want to work on your relationship, if you really want to build something that's sustainable, you need to get very good at coming back to the table as quickly as possible, as presenting yourself back in the relationship and saying, I'm still mad at you, but I'm at the table. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to just be here. I'm ready to be back in this thing mentally and emotionally and even physically. I am here. I'm here for you. And you know, there's friendships that just die. They just die because you never came back to the table. They just die because neither person was willing just to come back into the relationship. There's relationships with kids and with siblings. They just die because it's easier just to stay away from that relationship table. I encourage you today, if you want to build a relationship, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a family relationship or whether it's a friendship or even at the church, come back to the table, because you have to remember that relationships are God's idea. Relationships are God's idea. Sometimes we think that it's about us. I don't need him in my life. I don't need her in my life. It's not about you. It's not about you. See, the unity in your marriage is for something much bigger than your marriage. The unity in your family is for something much bigger than your family. The unity in this church is more important than you. It's about a mission that we have to accomplish in the world. And you know what? If we're unified, we can do anything. But it's going to mean that we put that work in, that we choose to grow personally, that we choose to seek solutions and not resolution in our conflicts, and that we always choose to come back to the table.
And we're going to close this morning with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The musician can come to the stage now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen to this verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's what we believe. That's what compels us. We are compelled by the love of Christ. We are compelled by his love for us. And we believe that he died for us. And we believe because he died for us that we should live for him, that we should not live for ourselves. So we're going to stop trying to find what's fair. Don't go for what's fair. Don't just fight for the way that you feel. No, it's bigger than that, because it's kingdom oriented. It's bigger than that because here Jesus is giving us his love, and in response he's saying, I just want you now to live for me. I don't want you to live according to your own rules. I don't want you to live according to your own way. I want you to live according to my way and with my love. Listen to me this morning. Even if you don't care enough about that relationship to relaunch, you must choose to obey God and forgive anyways. Even if you don't care, you say, I don't care about that relationship. I don't care if it ever gets back together. I don't care if it ever works out. I don't care. Will you forgive anyways? And will you work anyways? Will you strive for unity? Will you give vigorous effort so that it might work out again? Will you give strenuous effort so that the relationships that need to be relaunched can be relaunched in your life? Why? Because we have places to go and we have things to do. And there's nothing that will weigh you down more than a relationship that needs to be relaunched, but you're not coming back to the table. Nothing will hold you back more than a relationship that needs forgiveness and needs work, but you're not willing to put either one of those things into it, and it becomes like an anchor that's holding your ship from blasting off. It's an anchor that's keeping you from going to your destination. It's an anchor that's preventing you from going to the place that God created you to go. You see, this is the time of relaunch. We're relaunching our life. We're relaunching our hopes. We're relaunching our commitments. And you know what? We're relaunching our relationships. Why? Because we got places to go. We got things to do. We got a city to impact. We got people that need us to make a difference in their life. And I'm not going to let anything hold me back and hold me down. I am going to relaunch so that I can be everything God wants me to be. And relationships play a huge part of that. Amen. Come on, why don't you stand up with me?